My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, who's now with the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington. You may remember from our variety of conversations in recent months that he very seriously considered joining the Republican presidential field, and he set Labor Day as his deadline. Well, right at Labor Day, he decided not to seek the Republican presidential nomination, and he joins us now to elaborate a little more on why he made that decision, what he thinks of the current field, and some of the most important issues that currently confront the United States on the foreign policy stage. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you again for having me.
As I mentioned, ultimately your decision was not to run. What was the most important factor in that decision?
Well, I was interested in the possibility of running because I have felt for the last 2.5 years that national security hasn't been in the forefront of our national debate. Obviously, we've got economic recovery on our minds, but we need to do both. The two are very closely related. And President Obama, frankly, just doesn't pay adequate attention to the challenges we face internationally. And I thought one way to do that might be to run for president. But the more I investigated it, the more the logistical difficulties, the fundraising, the whole apparatus of a non-politician running for office made it clear it really wasn't a feasible course of action. I might say a non-politician who's not personally wealthy. So that was my decision. It wasn't a decision I made easily. It took me a while to make the decision because I had come to that conclusion several times before. I didn't like the answer I was coming to, so I wanted to re-examine it because I felt then and I feel now that national security has to be higher on the list of priorities for the president and I hope for the Republican candidates for the nomination because we need these issues discussed.
And I think so far there's been at least 5, maybe 6 Republican presidential debates, including one just last night where international issues were not talked about much, maybe 1 or 2 questions on it at the most. What do you think absolutely needs to be on the front burner in terms of our international responsibilities right now?
Well, we need to have a clear policy to deal with international terrorism. We've just seen the commemoration of the attacks of 9/11 and the loss of 3,000 lives and the cost in terms of the military activities we've undertaken since then. We have no coherent anti-terrorism policy under the Obama administration. We have bits and pieces here and there. We've had some successes, the killing of Osama bin Laden, but we do not have a coherent policy. The president doesn't even like to talk about it. We have no policy with respect to the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, nuclear, chemical, and biological. We have no grand strategy to deal with a resurgent Russia and a rising China. Our policy in the Middle East is like looking through the wrong end of a telescope. We focus on Israel instead of the threats posed by terrorists like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Iranian nuclear weapons program. So you go through this long list of challenges we face internationally, and the administration is just absent without leave. So you can pick almost any point on the spectrum of national security issues, including the budget debate we're going to see unfold in Congress here in the next few weeks, and the administration's policies lead to a weaker America around the world, and that will only invite more challenges from our adversaries.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And in terms of the current Republican field, when the issue does come up in the debates, sort of certainly Ron Paul's position, which he's had for a number of years, but it seems like over the last election cycle or so, more and more of the more mainstream Republican candidates are also drifting closer to that position that the U.S. is overextended, that we need to have less of a footprint around the globe. Obviously, there are nuanced positions over the 8 major presidential candidates on that. What do you think when you hear those positions, and is there any particular candidate of those 8 that you think is strong on these issues?
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of voters, a lot of office holders, a lot of party activists around the country in considering what I should do, and I honestly don't see any drift among the mainstream of the party, the voters, the activists, toward the Ron Paul kind of position. I'm still trying to figure out whether I should endorse one of the candidates or whether I just ought to continue pounding away on the need to get the foreign policy front and center in the campaign. I'm not sure which is the best thing to do to achieve the objective I want, which is to keep that debate going. What I have concluded, though, is a couple of the candidates just do not qualify under my view of what a correct American foreign policy ought to be. One is certainly Ron Paul, as you've indicated. I think his views are essentially isolationist in many respects. For example, his utter lack of concern for Iran's nuclear weapons program puts him on a par with President Obama, as far as I'm concerned. And I've been worried, and last night confirmed in my mind, that Governor Huntsman has basically disqualified himself as well. He is, as he said, in favor of fully withdrawing from Afghanistan. That's even beyond where President Obama is. So I think the two of them have sort of sliced themselves off from the main course of the debate. I think both of them were marginal candidates to begin with. But to me, it underlines why we need more debate among the candidates who are left. You can't have confidence that in a crisis in the next 4 years of the next president's term, we'll have a real understanding of how the prospective nominee would react unless we've had a debate about it. It's not enough to have strong patriotic feelings. It's not enough, as I think they all do, to think that our president shouldn't be going around the world apologizing for America. We need to hear what their thinking is. We need to go beyond bumper sticker formulations, 5-second answers to the questions you get in these debates. We need to have a real debate on national security, and I'm hoping in one of these upcoming debates somebody will take more than the scattered questions that have occurred in the first round of debates.
Well, let's talk in our last couple minutes here, Mr. Ambassador, about one of the key foreign policy issues that's always out there, and that's the Middle East and the situation with Israel and the possible vote on a Palestinian state coming up at the UN General Assembly. I believe September 20th is the day, so we're rapidly approaching that. Just a week from today, it would appear that over time, the UN has certainly proven itself to be pretty pro-Palestinian. The Obama administration has kind of been back and forth on what they might do here. Will they veto? Will they abstain? Will they probably won't vote for it, but what do you expect to happen, and what's the significance if it does?
Well, I'd be surprised if there's actually a vote next week. I think everybody, this is the UN, after all, we're talking about, and rather than make a hard decision, delay is always the preferred option. So I think this may drag out a little bit, and, you know, the PLO doesn't know exactly what its strategy is yet. Will it try and go through the Security Council? Will it duck the Security Council and try and win in the General Assembly, where it would certainly get an overwhelming vote, but it's just not nearly as important as a Security Council resolution. We don't know. What we can say, though, is that the Obama administration's dithering, its indecisiveness, its weakness in handling this issue has only encouraged the Palestinians. I think the one real chance to stop this is if Congress is able to adopt something like Congresswoman Ileana Rose-Layton's bill that would cut off funding to the UN if it adopted a resolution endorsing Palestinian statehood. I don't see the administration being willing to take that strong a position. So I think the Palestinians and their allies will draw the conclusion that the president's just going through the motions.
And last question before we let you go, Mr. Ambassador, you and I have talked about the uprising in Egypt and how you were concerned about that. It's certainly a lot of upheaval going on in other countries. One of the countries we probably didn't expect it to happen, and to the extent that it has to this point, is Turkey, one of our allies in NATO, certainly the greatest Islamic democracy, which is not a long list. But what do you make of them essentially severing ties with Israel?
Well, I'm very worried about it. I'm worried specifically about the risk of a direct confrontation with Israel, with the Turks giving naval protection to these so-called aid flotillas to the Palestinians. I'm worried about the political drift of Turkey away from NATO, away from the West as a whole, away from the secular vision of Kemal Ataturk and the post-Ottoman Empire Turkey that he helped found. And I'm very worried about the current Turkish leadership. Prime Minister Erdogan, for example, has been quoted as saying the following: democracy is like a streetcar. You ride it to the stop you want, and then you get off. That, to me, is chilling, and it's an indication of the direction he wants to take Turkey, a very radical Islamicist direction. I don't think the majority of Turkey's voters really want that. I certainly hope not. They just may not have the chance to express themselves.
We'll certainly be watching that, as well as everything that happens at the UN next week. Sir, as always, a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, who's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.